Pop quiz, who said it? What's in a name, that which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet? Yes, Juliet said it, and Shakespeare technically wrote it, but Juliet said it in Romeo and Juliet. So in this, Juliet is lamenting that Romeo's name, Montague, is what makes her her family's enemy, the last name Montague. She argues that if he were called something else, he would still be the same person she loves, just as a rose would still have its sweet scent, even if it were called something else. My question for you to ponder today is, do names really matter? What's in a name? When I think of names, the first thing that comes to my mind is Elaine Engel, right? She could go on for hours. I should have just like texted her, hey, I'm thinking about doing a talk on names. She probably would have wrote the whole thing for me. She could go on for hours about like the different heritages of the names, where they came from, what are the most popular names, which ones are least common, and things like that. It's fun to talk to her about names. I enjoy that. But I was pretty much completely the opposite. I didn't really care too much about names. I didn't really think too much about names until eventually I had to come up with one. And, of course, when we first found out Kayla was pregnant with Jubilee, we're like, all right, let's start thinking of names. And sure enough, we had a boy name picked out. So naturally we had a girl, and now we're having a second girl. So it's been a challenge. We still have no idea what we're going to name this next one. I don't know why, but I'm super picky about girl names. And the very few that I like and I suggest to Kaylee, I don't know why, but she always shuts them down. I'm like what is wrong with Zipporah? It's a great name, right? But no, she won't go along with it. I don't know why. So my challenge for you all today is to text her, hey, hope you get to feeling better. And also, Zipporah would be a great name. So do names really matter? There's been a lot of heavy stuff going on in our lives personally and here in the congregation. So I wanted to go with a topic that's a little more lighthearted. And I wanted to take a look at the names in the Bible, what they mean, and figure out the question, what's in a name and does it really matter? So let's go ahead and start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Bible doesn't explicitly say that God looked down and said, okay, first person, your name is Adam. The Hebrew word for man is Adam. It's the generic term for mankind and becomes the proper name, Adam. It's interesting. If you look at the different versions Genesis chapter 2, how interchangeable man and Adam is used in that second chapter. Where it's talking about the creation of man and woman. There's like 20-something references to man and the word man and to the word Adam. And in the ESV, Adam is only used once. In the NIV, Adam is used twice. And the New King James Version uses Adam 7 times instead of man. So it's very interchangeable. Then in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, and whatever the man called Adam, every living creature, that was its name. And then in verse 20, it says, the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So there's man created. There's the animals created, and Adam had to name all of them. And there's probably a joke in there that about man, Adam, having to name everything before his wife Eve came along, right? Like he'd have to argue over, oh, should this be called a danger noodle or a snake or a porcupine or a spiky nope or chicken or fluffy bok? He just came up with it. He didn't have to get approval. And you know, maybe that's why woman can't ever pick the food to eat because the man named all the animals. But props to Adam for having the creativity to come up with so many names for various living things. I'm exhausted trying to come up with a second girl's name that Kaylee will agree to. So you have Adam, the first man. You have all the Adams, all the animals named by Adam. And then woman appears on the scene. Chapter 3 talks about the fall. And interestingly, once again, in verse 20, the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. So the Hebrew word Eve is for life giver and resembles the word living. And from there on, it kind of gets tricky to determine which names have specific meanings. So I'm going to try to stick with ones that have more clearly defined reasoning behind them. And I'm definitely not going to hit on all names. That's just too many. But I'll hit on a few. So Genesis 5:29, Noah. Does anyone... Noah, the reasoning behind his name. What does Noah mean? Any guesses? Any guesses what Noah means? It means rest or comfort. Genesis 5:29, Lamech called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the pain toil of our hands." Noah means rest, comfort. And fun fact, I recently found out that Noah is actually the most popular boy's name today, and pretty much has always been in the top two or three. Just jump through a couple of quick ones. Genesis 16:11, Ishmael means God hears. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction." Isaac, what does Isaac mean? He laughs. I wonder why you got that one. What did Abraham and Sarah do when they found out they'd have a kid? They laughed. His name means he laughs. What about Esau? Red? He's like me, very hairy. It's funny, I was watching the kids earlier this week, and Ginny grabbed a hairbrush. She was brushing my hair, and then she came over and started brushing my arm. Am I really that hairy? So Esau means hairy, and what does Jacob mean? What did he do as he came out of the womb? Yeah, well, he grabbed the heel. I mean, heel grabber or supplanter. Genesis 25 through 26. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, so he called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. And I won't read them, but in Genesis 29 and 30, and then much later in chapter 35, you have the reasoning behind the names of all the sons of the 12 tribes. In Exodus 2:10, when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Moses sounds like the Hebrew word for drawn out. And then 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, is the ultimate diss by his wife. Abigail is speaking to David. "Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." His name means fool, and that's what he is. That's what she's saying here. There's more in the Old Testament, but let's go ahead and jump to the New Testament. Mark 3:17 is more of a nickname. You got James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. What were their nicknames? Sons of Thunder. And then John 1:42, Peter, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. He shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Cephas and Peter are the word for rock in Aramaic and Greek, respectively. He rocked. Jesus did still refer to him as Simon, though, didn't he? During the prediction of the denial, Jesus addresses him directly, saying, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat." Luke 22:31. And after the resurrection, Jesus refers to him as Simon again. Jesus asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He asks him that three times in John 21. This return to his original name marks a moment of intense personal reconnection and accountability after his denial. Can you think of other examples in the Bible where somebody was referred to as multiple names or had a name change? What are some other ones that you can think of? Saul and Paul. Yep. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember what their other names were? any other ones you can think of? Think of another one in the Old Testament. Yep. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Sarah, and Abraham, Abram to Abraham. I think that hits on pretty much all of them. Jacob to Israel, Hosea to Joshua. John chapter 11, verse 16, you have Thomas. So Thomas called the twin Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go out that we might die with him." So he was referred to as the twin. Acts 4:36, Barnabas. What does Barnabas mean? Son of encouragement. Yep. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So a name is a powerful thing. It's the very first gift you ever receive. Long before you could walk, talk, or even focus your eyes, someone looked at you, looked at your face, and gave you a name. As I was going through this lesson with Kaylee this morning, she gave me an interesting tidbit that I didn't know about. She said that in Iceland, they actually wait months before naming the child, and they get like the whole community to gather around to name a kid. So some here have names with deep family meanings. Some have names that somebody probably just heard something on a TV show and was like, "Oh, that sounds like a cool name. Let's go with that." Or some probably have names that like the mom or dad's just in the hospital, like, "Oh, we got to come up with something." Hopefully we don't get to that point. But regardless of your first name, regardless of your last name, the most important name you need to know is Jesus. Back when COVID hit pretty hard in 2020, we did the online service, and I think I was on for like one of the first weeks, and I had the Lord's table. And one thing that I wanted to try was something different was, instead of like coming up with a little speech, all I did was I read off the list of names that Jesus is referred to as by. There are about 200 of them. The way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the vine, man of sorrows, lamb led to the slaughter, and so much more. And this was to fulfill what was promised. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God is with us. The world gives us names too. Loser, failure, addict, angry, unworthy, too much, not enough, broken, alone. Or maybe you've picked on yourself and given yourself mean names. "I guess I'm the anxious one. I'm the one who always messes up. I'll never amount to providing enough." But hear this, those are not the names that God has prepared for you. These were never his names for you, and they don't have to follow you. God gives us new names in Christ. In Scripture, believers are called beloved, chosen, redeemed, forgiven, saints, children of God, salt and light of the world, more than conquerors, and best of all, Christian. belonging to Christ. This is the greatest name change that you can have. When I was younger, you know, the Bible is true in what it says. Train up a child in how he should go, and he will not depart from it. I should have been lost. My parents followed through that verse. I distinctly remember a conversation I had when I was younger with Dad. He sat me down and he said, Nick, well, Nikki back then, name change. I like that one. He said, you bear the last name Herman. That means something. You represent more than just yourself. You represent your mother and I. And the choices and actions that you make reflect on us too. And that is the same when we choose to put on Christ. What's in a name? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's what God says. If you have not chosen to be adopted into this family, what are you waiting for? This is the greatest family that you can be in. God has called you. Choose to make that decision to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be called Christian. If you have not done so, or if you have shamed the name Christian and feel that you need to get back on the right track, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.